And so we've been dealing with this in regard to these powerful truths that are just concentrated in these two verses. The son, the child that is coming, that will be born, is going to be the mighty God. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is thus the mighty God, the definite article, singular, definite article, the. There's only one mighty God. And this child is going to be that mighty God. And so we spent some time talking about the incarnation and can't go back and review so much on that tonight. But suffice it to say that Jesus Christ was God Almighty walking on the earth in the form of a man. And if you know that, it's because God has breathed that into you. When Peter in Matthew 16 identified Jesus, Jesus was saying, "Who do men say that I am?" And they gave him some responses. Some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elias. He said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And what he literally said there in the original is something closer to, "You are the anointed body of God." You've got to get this, because the Hebrews didn't believe in a triune deity. They had no such concept. They laugh at that and scorn at that today. They had no polytheism except when they were worshiping Baal. And Peter identified him as the human manifestation of the Almighty God. And Jesus would respond by saying, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father," or the Spirit, "has breathed this into you," or spoken this to you. If you know that Jesus is God tonight, you ought to thank God for that knowledge every day. If you know that the incarnation was God on the earth in the form of a man, you ought to give God praise and thanks for that every day. And the principle of prayer and the refreshing, or the deepening of the impression in your mind and in your spirit, is so very, very important about everything, but even more so about the name of Jesus and the mighty God in Christ. You say, "Well, I'll always know that, and I'll always preach that." I want you to know that there are preachers that used to be apostolic, that raised up apostolic churches and baptized people in Jesus' name. But when they begin to waffle and to backslide and to leave the holiness, they fail to understand that all of those things were connected. I know of one at least that's teaching in a Baptist church tonight. And to do that, he's got to walk in a triune theology. Well, praise God. I know another one that's in and out of all kinds of, I've stood in his home and I served on committees with him, but he's in and out of Trinitarian churches every week, and he preaches on their television broadcast, and he doesn't believe that the name of Jesus is essential. There's a big man with a big church about an exit down from Brother Tom Foster's church. So Sutton and I drove around it last time we were in Dallas just to take a look at it. They call it the Potter's House. That man knows about the name of Jesus. That man knows about the mighty God in Christ. But he also knows that the first day he was on TBN, he became a millionaire for book and tape sales. And he knows that that big old house would be a big old empty house if he began to tell them, "Listen to me, if you don't go down in the water in Jesus' name, you've never been baptized at all." And you see, I don't believe. I believe that he'd start preaching the truth, that people would come and accept and embrace and experience the truth. You say, "Well, what are those examples?" I'm telling you that where you're sitting, you're excited. Anybody here excited about the oneness of God? Anybody here know that you know that you know that Jesus is God, and that water baptism is the place where his name and his blood come upon your life? I want you to know that your natural mind, according to Romans chapter 8, is the enemy of God. And that if you let yourself drift back, that the old things will ascend again in your life. And you could get to the place where you could be saying, well, I don't even know why I thought that was so important. I don't know why we made such a big deal about that. And what's happening is the veil begins to come down again. God had lifted it. God breathed into you and opened your understanding. But that can be taken away from you, and that veil can come down again. And you can stand out in the world lost and without God and say, I don't know why I ever went to that church. I don't see why anybody would ever live like that. There are people who say those things who have knelt in altars like these and wept, not out of despair or not out of tragedy in their life, but wept because of the joy of God in their lives and thanking and praising God. But they've gone off into a place where they don't even remember why. The old man has ascended, and the new man has been buried. My God, I thank God for the revelation and for the knowledge. Every day I want to pull it out, shine it up. Every time I come to the house of God, I want to shout about it. I want to praise Him for it. I want to make those impressions so deep all of hell couldn't extinguish the fire of God in my life. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. If you love His name, let's clap our hands unto Him once more and bless His name. Jesus is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. Praise God. We talked also about the fact that He's wonderful. And the word wonderful there, as it is used throughout the scripture, has to do with miraculous and hidden or secret. Like the theophany would speak to Manoah, the father of Samson. And he would say, why do you ask after my name, seeing that it is secret? And some translations still say wonderful there, just the same word and use as here in Isaiah 9 and 6. And I don't diminish the name of Jesus. It is wonderful, but it's more than that. Theologically, it is hidden and secret. And there are people, you might think everybody in Birmingham knows the name of Jesus. You'd have to go to a far-flung pagan culture to find people that didn't know the name of Jesus. But I'll tell you, they can handle the name of Jesus and carry a Bible under their arm and not know who Jesus is. Praise God. Because it's given by spiritual revelation. And we talked about the fact that many will come to Him in that day, and they'll say, we've preached in your name, and we've cast out devils in your name, and He'll say, I've never known you. And the demons will respond to the sons of Sceva, who are you? They're handling the name of Jesus, but they don't know who Jesus is, and hence they don't have a relationship with Him. If you know that secret tonight, you are blessed. It's what Jesus told the disciples in Matthew 13 when He's explaining about the parables. He said, their eyes are closed, their ears are closed, their hearts are grown hard, but you see and you hear. Blessed are your eyes and blessed are your ears. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, if you know this, you got blessed ears and you got blessed eyes. Praise God. Secret is out. God brought forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And they called His name Jesus. He is the mighty God, the everlasting Father. We Sunday night began to talk about the fact that He is the Counselor. And the root language there has to do with one who determines, one who resolves, or as the NIV puts it, one who works the plan, or one who works the program. And if you ever had the idea, or if the devil ever tried to sell you the idea that your life was just some piece of flotsam or jetsam in the raging torrents of life, and you just kind of being battered back and forth and didn't have any really controlling component, I want you to know God has a plan for your life. from the moment he saw you, from the moment he breathed his spirit into you, God has chartered a course for your life. He's already got your destiny. Listen to me. He's already got your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He is ready for you to succeed in this business of spiritual warfare. He already has prepared everything you need and from the foundation of the earth. We read that in the Word of God on Sunday evening. Thursday of next week, God is already there. God's already prepared for you what you need. God knows the circumstance. He knows the size of the enemy. He knows the size of the mountain you'll have to climb. God's already there with all the provision you need. I'm just telling you, God's ready for you to succeed. God's already made it available. You've already got everything you need. Everything you need is already in your hand. Everything you need is in your hand. Tell your neighbor that. I got everything I need. Now, how many of you did not say that with conviction? Because, see, you think, I need, and you can fill in the blank. And you think if you just had that need that you'd be happy or everything would be all right or you'd be successful or you would whatever. Fill in the blank. But everything you need is in your hand. When Moses and the people are standing at the Red Sea, God just says, what's in your hand? What do you have? Let's just use what you have. You got a staff? We can open up the Red Sea with a staff. Whatever you have is all God needs. If you got the Holy Ghost and the power of the name of Jesus and the promise of the Word of God, you've got everything that you need tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. Do you really believe that? See, you do on some level, but you really don't. Because if I wrote you a check for $10,000, some of you would hyperventilate right now. It's like, yes. You'd be like that dog on the old cartoons. They used to give him a dog biscuit. And he would have conniptions and he'd start levitating. You'd be just like that for just a measly 10 grand. You'd do that right now. This is a hypothetical, Brother Corey. But I just told you, you already have everything that you need. You're bulletproof. You get so defined by your needs and so defined by your circumstances and so defined by your projecting of your thought process on your life that you can't hear the Word of God tonight. I just told you, you've got everything you need. Today, you're all right. Tomorrow, it's going to be fine. Next Thursday, God's got it all in control because God's working His plan. The writer says that he's going to continue to do that work that he began in you. That he is the author and the middle point. That the 60% guy. Do you really believe God's going to take you through this? My God, it said he brought them out to bring them. It said they left to go into Canaan, and into Canaan they came. Speaking of Abraham, God is going to bring you in. When they left out of Egypt, it wasn't all about coming out of Egypt. It was about going into promise, and God brought them finally into promise. God didn't save you to let you sit here and die on the vine. God brought you out to bring you in, and he's got everything. Thing that you need. Praise God. God's bigger than all your problems, bigger than every mountain. Now, you know, when you're here in a high profile situation and everybody can see you, you have to really, really worship and get with it. See, that's how it starts. People sitting on platforms and they get detached from everything. So you wind up with a platform full of preachers. And pretty soon that leaches into the congregation. And the poor guy preaching is just killing himself. And everybody, well, see? It all begins with you. Look at your hand. Tell your neighbor, I've got everything I need right here in my hands. I've got the name of Jesus. I've got the promise of the Word of God. I've got the Holy Ghost and the fire. I've got everything I need. The devil can't stop it. The world can't slow me down. My God, it doesn't matter about the circumstance or the size of the enemy. None of that matters. Somebody tell me what's the only thing in the equation that can really shut everything down. Yeah, my response. Praise God. Praise God. Boy, the devil loves it when you're hunkered up, worried. And if he can get you depressed, he's just having a great day. I want the devil to have a bad day. I want him to have a bad day. I want him to go home having thrown everything he can at you and go home so disappointed and dejected and just say, my God, I've rained down calamity and disaster on this person all day long, and they're still praising God and being nice to people and walking in victory, and I don't know what I'm going to be able to. I want the devil to have a bad day. Someone say, he's my counselor. Say, he works the plan. Isaiah 53, the whole plan of God is demonstrated there. To who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed, or the plan of God revealed? And it begins to talk about the Christ, how he'll grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. And before it's over, the Bible says he's going to be like a lamb led to the slaughter, and God will lay upon him the iniquity of us all. And for the transgressions of my people, Isaiah will say, is he slain? And so the whole plan of redemption of God is forecast 700 years before the Christ in Isaiah 53, 1,000 years before the Christ in Psalms 22. They'll pierce his hands and his feet, and they'll gamble for his garments. And the plan of God is revealed in prophecy. It didn't just happen. It wasn't a Roman idea. It wasn't a Hebrew idea. It was the plan of God. They couldn't have helped it. They were on schedule. God wound them up like little dolls, and they came and plunged the nails into his hands and the spear into his side. It was the plan of God. It was the plan of God for redemption. God saw you in the future and said, I'm going to redeem that man. I'm going to redeem that woman. And he already had his plan in motion before you were ever born, before your parents were ever born, before your grandparents were ever born. 2,700 years before you were there, Brother Ronnie, God said, I'm going to lay upon him the iniquity of us all. 3,000 years before you appeared, he said, they're going to pierce my hands and my feet, and they're going to gamble for my garments. What does that mean? That means God's got a plan, and God brings it to pass. Do you think Greece agreed with the plan of God? No, but Greece didn't matter. They can conquer the world, but they can't conquer the plan of God. Do you think Rome agreed with the plan of God? No, they didn't even know about the plan of God. If the princes of this world had known who he was, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't have to be on board. They didn't have to know about it. They didn't have to agree to it. God just weaves his plan through the historical timeline of man. And all of the weight of Nazi Germany can come down on Israel and just crush it into oblivion and try to exterminate the seed of Abraham. But in 1948, something goes off in the spirit. And Jews all over the world, like monarch butterflies or salmon going back to the spawning grounds, or swallows to Capistrano, Jews started making their way back to Jerusalem. Praise God. Touch your neighbor and say, they're there today. God brought them back by the prophecy, by the word of God, by his plan. You see, the plan of God is going to happen. All the world's going to stand before the white throne judgment. The plan of God is going to take place. The only question is, will you be one of those that John saw when he said, I saw a multitude without number? Well, praise God. God's got a plan, and I'm going to be a part. I'm going to let God work his plan in me. The counselor is the one who resolves or determines or works the plan. Praise God. Praise God. When on the cross, he says, it is finished. He says, it's complete. At the end of the 11th chapter of Revelation, when the seventh trump sounds, now all the kingdoms of the earth have become the kingdoms of my Lord and of his Christ. Praise God. It's like now. And these are time stamps and these are signals that the plan of God is coming to a place of completion. Praise God. When the angel pours out his vial, the seventh vial in Revelation 16, it's like he dusts his hands off. But the voice that he cries with says, it is done. He's not talking just about that vial. He's talking about all of the plan of God coming to pass. And now the thing has been loosed in the earth. Praise God. God's got a plan for you. If you're drifting and you don't even know what you're going to be doing next year, and you're not quite sure about where career is going to take you or where life is going to take you, the most salient point, the most powerful issue in your life is, am I plugged in to the plan of God? I'll tell you, everything else is small change. Everything else is small change. Family gets better when you're in the plan of God. Career and work, they get better when you're in the plan of God. And God is the resolver. He will resolve the thing. He will do the work that he has begun in you. He is our mediator. He's our counselor. He's our mediator. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and beginning in verse 3. 1 Timothy 2 and 3. Tell somebody, he's my mediator. Praise God. 2 and 3. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. That has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? God our Savior. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And everyone say, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. This speaks of his high priesthood, and it speaks of his mediation there in the tabernacle plan. That is the it's the type and the shadow of what our relationship with God is going to be. And for us, Jesus Christ is our mediator. He is what we pass through to get to God. Jesus said, no man comes unto the Father but by me. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What does all that mean? Is that some kind of Eastern mystical philosophy or something? No. He is the way. How do I get to God? You go right through Jesus Christ. He's the tabernacle. He is the tabernacle and the God of the tabernacle. He's the scapegoat and he's the lamb of sacrifice. He is the high priest and he is the sweet-smelling savor in the presence of God for our righteousness. He's the light. He said, I'm the true light that came down from heaven. He's the bread. He said, I'm the true bread that came down from heaven. He is the torn veil. He tore the veil of his flesh. He is the perfect mercy, perfect fellowship, perfect authority. He is the manna that came down. He is all of that. He is our mediator. We pass through him. He is the medium, if you would, by which we come to the Spirit of God. We pass through him. He is the door. He said, I'm the door. If any man goes up any other way, he's a thief and a robber. The only way you can get in is by the ministry of Jesus Christ. One mediator, one God, and the mediator is the man, Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 9. Are you okay? We're just having a little Bible study. It's Wednesday night. That's great. Don't you love Bible study? Praise God. There are some things we're going to leave behind. And faith is one of them. Because you won't need faith over there. Because you'll be there. That's why Paul says, now abideth faith and hope and love. And the greatest of these is love. Because you won't need faith over there. And you won't need hope over there. Because you'll be there. But love will be with us all the way. And Bible studies, we won't be doing. We're just getting there. But Bible studies and church services and all this, we're just practicing for over there. I remember a message years ago by Brother. Oh, mercy, help me. Used to be the. Brother Becton, thank you. My wife is helping. Oh, this is scary, though. This reminds me of what Brother and Sister Freeman used to do when they were in their 80s. She just sat on the front row and she just filled in the blanks for him. This is scary. Brother Becton preached about choir practice at 5 o'clock. Those things that you do over and over repetitively. But what is it all about? It's not just about that moment and that exercise and that thing. Because if you ever distill it down to that, it can become a drag or just a ritualistic behavior. But you're getting ready. You're practicing. You're disciplining. You're getting ready for a greater choir. You're getting ready for an event in the heavens that you can't even imagine. When we gather around the throne and we begin to sing the songs of Zion over there, and we begin to sing about how we made it through. Well, praise God. Hebrews 9 and beginning in verse 11. But Christ, being an high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, a spiritual tabernacle, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once to the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Everyone say, he's working the plan. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he's the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And then down in verse 24, Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Speaking of the flesh, the lamb, the sacrifice, and speaking in the about the presence of the eternal Spirit of God and its righteousness. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Praise God. Everyone say, he's worked his plan. He has worked his plan. He is working his plan in us. And I'm not going to go any further with this tonight. We'll work on this some more, maybe on Sunday morning. But God is working his plan in you right now. From far off at Genesis chapter 3, he began to project the Messiah, or the Christ, or the Lamb. The seed of the woman would put his heel on the head of the serpent. And he was talking about the Christ. He's working his plan way back then. And he's projecting that God would come to the earth in the form of a man. And that God would be the redemption price for our sins. And he's working his plan. And all of hell, if you read Revelation chapter 12, it talks about Israel. It's like a little thumbnail of Israel, and how that Israel is a woman and she brought forth a child, and how the enemy was right there ready to eat up the child, ready to kill the child. You know, the devil tried to do that when Moses was born. He tried to do it again when the Christ was born. All of hell wanted to prevent the plan of God. But can you see that God brought his plan into fruition without the aid or assistance of any worldly entity? He used humble things and lowly things and shepherd boys, and he raised up a prophet out of the womb of a barren woman by the name of Hannah. And all the way through the history of that plan, he didn't need anybody's help. He brought it to pass. If you believe that God did that, then say amen. God, who brought forth that plan, we need signals, third base signals, something. That would work. That means we're leaving. Play music. Tell your neighbor, God, against all of men's empire building, and down the course of all of man's history, against all of hell, pharaohs, pits, Potiphar, prison, lions, bears, giants, failure, sin. He brought forth his plan. In the fullness of time, God brought forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Don't you know that God is working his plan in your life? And not all of hell can stop it. No, there is no enemy alive, Brother Jimmy, that can stop the plan of God in your life. Total paralysis cannot stop the plan of God in your life. You've been living for God and shouting on the inside for 20 years. Nothing can stop that, Brother Jimmy. My God. And God's able to raise you up. And we pray for you that God would. Every time I pray for you, God, give it to him from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. Make him dance all over that church. And I mean, if he does it, we're going to put this chair on a rotating pole out on the sign out there with a little blue light. But he's going to work his plan in you. And nothing can stop that. And you're going to get a new body, because that's the plan of God. That's going to happen. Somebody say, that's going to happen. Touch your neighbor and say, God's working his plan in me. And nothing can stop it. My God, tell him I'm going to succeed in this thing, because God's on my side. And he's my mediator. And he's my counselor. And my counselor is my mighty God. And my counselor is my everlasting Father. And while you're at it, isn't he wonderful? My God, let's stand together. Clap your hands. Lift up a voice of praise. Come down around this altar tonight. I want you to pray. And I want you to just give God thanks that he's working his plan in your life. If you're here today without the Holy Ghost, God can fill you with his Spirit before you leave this house tonight. Come on, lift those hands. Lift those voices. God, I thank you. I praise you. You're working your plan in my life. Praise God. Praise God. But I've made a big mess, and my life is a mess. God's working his plan in your life. But I don't have a husband. God's working his plan in your life. But I don't have a wife. God is working his plan in your life. Well, praise God. Come on, let's give him high praise. Give him some thanks right now. We magnify you. We worship you. We lift you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want you to turn to somebody by you and lay your hands on them. And I want you to pray for them that the plan of God would emerge, take shape, that God would bring it forth, that God would accomplish his desire in the life of your brother, your sister. Pray for them right now. The blessing, the anointing.
If I try to contain it, it will just take over me.
Hallelujah.
For all that you've done and all that you are, you're the righteous one, the living God.
Thank you, Jesus.
So in my hands of praise, I will lift.
Just begin to praise him now. Come on. Somebody shout about it a little bit. Somebody dance about it a little bit. Praise God. Now, how many of you really, you just have a dilemma right now that you just absolutely don't know how to resolve, and you don't know what the answer is going to be? A dilemma, a problem in your life, people problem, job problem, career problem. Yeah. I want you, while your hand's in the air, I want you to turn to somebody by you and say, I don't see it and I don't understand it, but God is working his plan in me. Well, praise God. Glory to God. He's wonderful. He's counselor. God bless you. We are, I guess I should make those party announcements. All you young people know about the party on Friday. Okay, good deal. All right, so that's what you're doing. I'll see you again on Sunday morning. We'll have an apostolic service. God bless you.